2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Lifting there as one of the key verses, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, dear God, and trust you, Lord, that you would move in this message today, that you would touch your speaker, dear Lord God, that you would use us for thy glory. Help each and every one of us to diligently seek after you and to just continue to run this race, O God, before you, Lord, that we faint not, O God. And Lord Jesus, that you speak to our hearts, God, helping us to walk with you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of times we face afflictions, we face problems. I like the way this section started out in Scripture. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Actually, if I just read the negatives here, we are troubled on every side, we are perplexed, persecuted, cast down, and always bearing. Well, that's quite a load, isn't it? I don't know. Does that at all describe your life some days? Does it? You face burdens and afflictions and difficulties that you don't know how you're going to get over, that you don't know how you're going to overcome them. Yet the apostle in writing here, he says, yet not distressed, but not in despair, but not forsaken, but not destroyed. Praise the Lord. That's encouraging. Yes, he had a lot of things that he was facing, but he acknowledged that yet we're not overtaken, we're not destroyed, we're not utterly done. Talked about dying and bearing the body of the dying, the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. You know, some of the struggles and the things that we go through is exactly what is needed to make us strong. And that's never easy to understand when you're going through it. I can remember as a boy and going on a Boy Scout hike. It was back when I was able to hike a little better than these days. But as a Boy Scout, we went on this long hike, and I believe it was Heart Mountain. And I'm not sure where we all went, but I know that we were pretty far away from civilization. And I didn't have a backpack. We were pretty poor in those days, and some things don't seem to change. But I didn't have a backpack of my own, and they said, well, we have some other ones here that you can use. And I was given, I think, like a World War II backpack. And if you ever seen one of those, it was an old Army military backpack. It was canvas, and it hung really low. It basically ended up way down here. It wasn't something that was, you know, equalized up on your shoulders like the modern ones are today. And it was heavy, and it was loose. I mean, it would flop around and stuff. It wasn't form-fitting. And I don't know whether it just didn't fit me right or what the case was, or whether it was just an older style and couldn't be adjusted too well. But that pack was heavy. And every one of us, we had to not only carry our supply, personal supplies, But then you either had to carry maybe some canned goods of food, you might have had to carry the cooking stove, you might have had to carry different things. All that was distributed among all of us Boy Scouts. Until it was done, I probably had a good 40, 50-pound sack on my back. And we're hiking through the woods, and what an experience that was, you know, up and down hills, and it was an experience. How many of you have ever been hiking before? All right, have you climbed any steep hills when you're hiking? Did they frighten you? Did you have any pass that you knew you needed to come back? And you went up that thing and now you got to figure out how to get back down it? Well, we had some real doozies of trails that we were traveling on. As far as I know, we made pretty much a loop. We only backtracked some of the way. Most of it was fresh trail most of the time. But in the process of that, there was an area that we had hiked up over this one hill, and I just remember it being so steep. And we finally get up on the other side, but now we got to go down the other side of that hill. And on the other side, it was really rocky. How many of you ever been up on Bake Oven Knob? You ever hiked the trail up the knob? You know how those rocks are there's pointed rocks just sticking up all over the place? That's just about like what the terrain was like, if I can remember. It was very close to that. Just a lot of rocks protruding up, sharp, sharp points sticking up. And I'm traveling along, and, you know, being the graceful hiker that I am, I caught my heel or foot somewhere, and I went down. And when I went down, what's the first thing you do when you're falling? One of the first things that you do? You stick your hands out. Because why? You want to protect your face, and it's just a natural instinct. When you fall, your hands go out to try to brace yourself and to control the fall. Well, if anybody's ever seen my wrist before, many people would think that I attempted suicide. I've never done that. Thank God for His help. But if you can get a close-up view of this, you'll find that I have this slice that goes down my arm that's a scar that's been here. And all of a sudden, I became a first aid project for the Boy Scouts. As they were swarming around me and getting out their first aid kits. And, well, a lot of them, they wanted to get their badge that day, I think. I mean, they were having a good time. I wasn't. I was screaming. I probably really should have went to the hospital. But we had too many makeshift doctors out there in the woods, and I never went to a hospital. And this thing laid open about a good inch, maybe even an inch and a half. It's a wonder I didn't sever veins. Maybe I did, and somehow they rerouted or whatever. I mean, it's a miracle. I wasn't probably out there bleeding to death. But so they got me patched up. But boy, did that hurt. Because see, when I tripped, something happened. That backpack, which was loose, actually went up over my head, and it forced me to the ground with extra force. And my hand, I don't remember if it hit the rock and slid itself, but this wrist came right down on a sharp edge of a large rock, and it just went like that. I braced myself all right, and I tore my wrist open and could have lost my life. I lost quite a bit of blood out there today. Got it all taken care of, and I think they were using butterfly bandages and probably sticks, branches, and everything else they could find. I don't know. I just remember them bandaging me up and getting me all doctored up, and our troop leader and his assistant insisted that we keep on going. And so Rodney Keister had to become a trooper that day. Now I'm among the wounded, and I don't know if somebody carried my back for a little bit or not, but I think they even still made me carry the pack. But we kept on going, and this is an overnight hike and everything. I mean, we slept in tents and got to see people steaming crayfish for the first time right out of the creek, get them out of the creek and put them in a mashed potato can after they were done using it and steamed those. We had all kinds of fun things, but I tell you, that kind of ruined my trip. But I still had to make that hike. They didn't deem my wound that bad that I needed to be taken out or taken for care or taken off the hike. And I would spend, and I don't know, I think it was just a one night overnight. We left one morning and came back the following night and spent one night out in the woods. But I had to finish my hike. Nobody could carry me. I went through some difficult things, but I was the one that still had to take every step along the way. Now, there were people to help me. There were people that helped me. I do remember on occasion some people relieving me of the pack, but I think I carried the pack the majority of the time. I had to make it through. And you know what I find today, whether it be spiritually, whether it be sometimes financially, whether it be sometimes just in the realm of everyday life, is too easy what we want is we want somebody to come and lift us up out of whatever that we're in and place us over on the clear, free side of all the problems are behind us. And rarely do I find, there are times that God does that. There are times that God works an awesome miracle, lifts you up out of the situation, plants you somewhere else, and you know God has reached down and helped you. But most of the time, you're going to have to continue on your journey. And it's going to be a fight to the end. It's going to be hard at times. It's going to be difficult. You may not think that you're going to make it out alive. You may not think that you're going to make it all the way through. I counsel a lot of different people, and I can think of the one brother, and every so often he gets down so low, he says, I just want to be taken away. Just pray God will take me away. One of my last replies back is, have you finished the mission that He's called you to do? Meaning His mission in life? He thinks that He has and wants me to pray. I said, I can't pray that way. I said, I think I'll be praying against God's will. Do you want to be rescued in the midst of all the difficulties you have? Or do you really just want to make it through all the way to the end? Because if you're going to make it through all the way to the end, you're going to have to gain some strength by going through those things. In the midst of that, I realized I couldn't quit. I couldn't give up on that hike. I had to continue on. And you know what? You have to continue on the path that you're going. God can give you the grace to make it through your difficulties, to make it through your problems. But you're going to have to determine that I will not quit. The verse of Scripture that we read there says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and we forget that sometimes, it'll pass. This situation will pass. This situation will move on. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Sometimes those trials and struggles that we go through are exactly what is needed to cultivate in us the strength to make it through. I think I've talked about it before, and I know I've preached some messages similar to this one. But if you take a baby chicken just trying to peck their way out of a shell, and you think, oh, look at this poor harmless thing, and you want to reach down and you want to help break that shell open, that chick will die. Because that chick needs the strength that it will gain from trying to get out of there to strengthen its body to the place that it's able to function. And maybe the parents can just listen to this for a second. Sometimes we do that with our children. We want to help break away all the troubles in their life. And they never grow to be able to do it on their own. And then when they get to be an adult and going on, their lives can be crumbled because they've never learned to walk on their own. Maybe you're in that position today. Maybe you're used to being bailed out of every situation you've been by some kind of family member or somebody that helps you through, or maybe the system. Whatever it might be. Friends, you're going to have to learn to walk on your own. You're going to have to learn to press through those difficult places, press through those trials, so that you can come out shining like the sun, like the Lord Jesus Christ, and walking with Him in purity and in truth. I find that the American dream, just like we learned from the little lesson that the children listened to yesterday, that little girl in that story, she wanted money, but she didn't want to work. She wanted this beautiful, expensive dress at the store, but her dad wouldn't give her the money. He said, you have to save your allowance. And she wanted to know if there's some way that she could get some money. And he said, well, you know, most people do work to earn money. And so she started brainstorming for all those ideas. Eventually, she started delivering newspapers. Well, she found out that they didn't want to get their newspaper at 11 o'clock in the morning. That meant she'd have to get up really early, and that was too early for her. And the newspaper lady said to her, "Said, well, you know, we're used to getting the paper a little earlier than this. And it was 11 o'clock in the morning." And she said, well, what time are you used to getting it? Oh, sometime before 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock? That means I got to get up at, oh, I don't even want to think about it. And she said, well, you know, there are other ways you can earn money. She said, my husband travels a lot in his work, and I have allergies. I can't mow my lawn. Well, how'd you like to mow my lawn? Oh, that's work. That's what she has. That's work. She said, well, I'll give you $10. $10 for mowing? She said, well, it won't take me an hour to mow your yard. All right, I'll do it. And she got all excited. She started to work. But then she got lazy. She wanted to employ people and didn't want to do the work and just take all the phone calls. And then she took advantage of her workers and paying them only 50% of what she took in. And we'll make a long story short. In the end, she found out there was not going to really be any successful income without being willing to work for it. And you know, that's a lesson in America today that people don't want to learn. They don't want to work anymore. You take the average home and children, the thought of work, and I don't know where it went wrong in the American dream here, but sometimes we raise children up and we work so hard to get where we are, we think the best thing we can do is give our children everything. I don't want them to have to work the way I did growing up. Friends, I lugged wood every day of my life as a young person to keep my house warm. Just about every day. Unless I could trick my sisters into doing it. Well, reality, I did. I was the young man of the house. My brother left. And if it was going to get done, yes, my sisters did help on occasion. But I guess if I had a choice, I'd much rather do the outside work. Young people, there's a lesson to learn in that. If you're going to make it through, you're going to have to be willing to work. And if you have a problem with doing work, if that's one of your greatest difficulties in life, man, I don't want to do any kind of work. I don't want to clean up this. I don't want to take care of it. I don't want to do this thing. You are in for a huge problem in life. An extreme problem in life. If you think that you can get by being lazy in school and it's just school, and you when you get out there in the real world, you won't work like that, you're believing the devil's lie. Because if you can't apply yourself in your studies, it's laziness. It really is. That's okay. I'm not saying that there aren't sometimes there can be difficulty, sometimes there can be sickness, sometimes, you know, I guess I can in some way talk about him. He's departed. My oldest brother has passed away. But it never failed. Every time there was work to be done in the house, he had to go to the bathroom. Anybody have any siblings like that? I mean, no matter what it was, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. For half an hour. Got to go to the bathroom. I think we caught on after a while. But what do you do to escape out of your troubles and try to skate around them? Try to skip this process, skip this part. You know, there's wisdom in being able to apply different devices and techniques that make your work easier. There's wisdom in that. But if your motivation is to simply get out of work, you've got a deeper problem. Do you know the scriptures actually tell us? Girls, do you remember the scripture verse in there? Remember what it said? If a man will not work, he will not eat. There's a lot of people that are going hungry today, are struggling because they will not work. They will not do something to better themselves in that area. There's a place for schooling. We need good schooling. Some people go run off to college because they don't want to work. I've met people when I was in college that just wanted to be a lifelong student. They were there. They didn't want to work. I mean, realistically, hey, there's a good place you need to go. You can go pick up skills and you can get good work. I'm not downing academics or college. Trust me, I'm not. But there are some people that's their escape route. Oh, I think I'll go over here for another 4 years. And if they got a mom and dad that can pay the bill, I mean, they might go to school for, you know, 15 years and still not know what they want to be. And keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. I don't know, maybe you've got some children like that. If you're still putting them through college, I'm not sure. David, when he wrote in Psalm 119, he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." You know, in the midst of the afflictions and the trials, we become strong. I'm going to try to retell a story I heard at ministerial just this past week. And you see the fruits of me getting there, I guess. At least one fresh story I brought home. But Brother Joe Smith, the speaker at our ministerial, I've been a pastor at the same church, I think, for 17 or 18 years or something like that. Maybe it's 20-something, I'm not sure. But they were somewhere in the U.S., and there was this lake that was down over a sand dune, and it's 450-foot drop down a sand dune. And the only way to get to the lake is down that 450-foot pile of sand. And he said, you climb up on your hands and knees to get back out. But he said to get in, you slide the whole way down. And they get there, and his kids had heard all about it. Maybe they've seen it before. I don't recall in the story. But they were so excited, and the one boy, I think, was maybe 11. The other one was like 9 years old, and the one that was 11 had more strength. The older one had more strength. And his dad really wasn't worried about him going down and making it back up. But the other boy, well, he just wasn't quite as physically fit, if you know what I mean. And his dad was real concerned, but before he could suggest that he wouldn't go, his son had already, I guess, taken his shoes off and was already preparing to plunge down over the embankment. And his dad's like, "I know better. I'm not going down there." And he's like, "'Cause I got to get back out." And so his father wasn't really interested in going down there. So he watched and he said, "It's so far down." He said, "All you see is people like little, about 1 inch tall. That's how far away they are down there." He said, "I could see my two sons kind of running around and having fun and splashing in the water and enjoying it." And time came and they start making their way back up, and the two brothers are kind of side by side for a little while. And then the older one started to pull ahead and pull ahead. And he said he realized his worst fear of what he suspected about the younger boy is he wasn't going to be able to make it. And he grabbed the binoculars from the car and he looked down upon his son, way down, I believe over two-thirds of the way still down the 450-foot. That's a lot of feet to climb in sand on a steep embankment. And he said the facial expression of his son was in absolute terror, because his son was realizing and thinking that he could not make it back up. And so quickly he throws off his shoes and down the embankment he goes. And as he's on his making his descent down over that hill to help his son out, the Lord's saying, you cannot help him. If you help him up this, he'll fail at other things in life. You cannot help him. So he went down and got beside his son and gave him a big hug. And his dad was, he was happy to see his dad. And his dad, they sat there. And it was so steep that they would have to just turn around and kind of squirm themselves in to sit down on the side of this embankment. And he said they sat there beside each other for a while. He said, let's just take a break and rest for a while. He said, now what we're going to do is, he said, we got all day. We don't have to be anywhere. He said, but we're gonna climb a little ways, and when we get too weak or too tired, he said, we're just gonna turn around, and we're gonna sit down in this bank, and we're gonna take our time, we're gonna get out of here. And encourage them, you can do it. He said, I'm gonna be right here with you the whole way. He knew that he couldn't carry his son out of there. It was gonna take everything he had to get back up that bank himself. Is there anybody here today that's about two-thirds of the way down over a sand dune that's too big, and you don't think you can make it back up? God knows that He cannot grab your hand and pull you up that hill. But I tell you, God will be with you while you're climbing. But you're going to have to make the ascent. And so there they were, and one foot at a time, digging into the sand, and one hand digging in, and they're climbing up this 450-foot embankment of sand, a sand dune, continuing to climb. And they'd get so far, and they'd just take a break, and they'd sit there, and they'd look out over and see the beautiful view. And he just tried to take away everything that would bring fear to his son, and kept encouraging him along the way. And you know, when you're going through that difficult time, I think if you can learn to tune into God and maybe just take a break for a moment, look over and talk with your Lord and talk with your Savior. While you're making it and you're climbing up through there and you're making that climb, God will help you. He knows what you're facing. He knows the obstacles that seem too insanely big. He knows that it seems too much for you, but you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. It's not too much. It's not more than you can handle. It's more than you can handle if you're trying to conquer the whole thing in one swoop. Just inch away. Take one little piece of it at a time. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever problem it is, all you can take is one step at a time. But as you take those steps, and you take those steps, and finally they get all the way up to the top. He said, well, he said, Brother Smith said, he goes, I really don't believe in dancing. He said, but I danced that day. He said, I just did myself a little victory dance right on the top of that bank. And he said his son wasn't feeling quite so joyous, but finally his son started to stick his hands up and began to rejoice because he made it through. Exhausted, yes. Worn out, yes. Sore, I'm sure. But he made it up. The obstacles that you're facing that might seem too big, whatever it might be, whether it be financial, whether it be the unknown future. You know, sometimes the unknown known is the biggest mountain to conquer. But God's not expecting you to leap over that thing. What He wants you to do is just take one step at a time and keep yourself in tune to Him. He's the encourager. He's the one with the wisdom. He's the one to tell you where to put your next step. He's the one to tell you what to grab a hold of. You ever been really scared? I remember an experience that I had. And the person that was with me couldn't help me. Not much. I loved to climb trees when I was young. Anybody here like to climb trees? I know Jolene does. She's like a monkey. Sister Potek, you still like to climb trees? That's great. That's wonderful. But when I was young, I used to like to do that. And we climbed this one tree, and I got so far up into the branches of this huge tree. I think the tree's still there. How many of you been up to my sister's house? I think it might still be. I'll have to look when I go by. One, there's a real big, huge tree back by the kitchen door. That huge tree. I mean, I'm way up in the thin part of the branches. And I'm having a good time. I got up there, and this is exciting. There's only a problem. I got to go back down. And my fear of heights really wasn't too bad when I was young until it hit you. And once it hit you, you got it. You ever been there? And all of a sudden, I've got to climb back down. It was a silver maple tree. Smooth bark tree. And I had to go back down those branches. I mean, I remember getting a little shaky. I can remember another experience. I might have told this story before. But I was a young man, and one of the neighbors was a girl, and we hung out together once in a while, and we're out climbing a tree, and I'm trying to get down to this tree. We're hanging upside down in the branches, you know, like a monkey might do, and you know, you just got your legs hanging over the branch, and I'm hanging upside down. I know you're visualizing this right now, a man over 300 pounds hanging upside down on a branch. It wasn't that quite the same back then, okay? But there I am, I'm hanging upside down in this branch, and then it was time to get down, and when I tried to get down, where the two branches, there was two branches that met together in a Y, and I was hanging upside down on one of them, and I was real close to the Y, and did my foot get lodged in the Y, and I am hanging upside down by 1 foot. From this tree. And she's trying to help me, and there, like I said, there wasn't a whole lot somebody could do to help me. Somehow, I had to get my feet back up in there and be able to get myself wrapped around that branch so I could slide over so when I came down, my foot didn't get hung in the Y. Now, she was a little assistive, but I had to find the muscle and the strength to do that. And I was still kind of a heavy boy, all right? I mean, there was still different. I could do a lot of physical things, but sometimes the little bit of extra weight that I carried made it harder. And so when you were hanging up there the first time, it kind of zapped all of my energy. Now I had to get myself back into the hanging position, slide over, and then bring my feet down that I wasn't lodged by 1 foot. It was going to take some work. Maybe some of you in your life, you're kind of been up there. You had a good time while you're there, but all of a sudden things have gone wrong. And you're just dangling by 1 foot. Not much hope. You know, I could have maybe slipped out of my shoe and landed directly on my head. Killed myself or ended up in the hospital. Or I could work and in pain and agony get myself to the place where I can escape. I don't know what problems you're facing in life, but you know what I find also? That in our society, not only are people sometimes lazy and don't want to work, but it's easier to quit. It's easier to just quit and don't look back. And friends, if you're going to quit, if you're going to give up, you're going to destroy yourself. You've got to press forward. And that may not apply to every single thing in life. If what you're doing is wrong, you need to quit. But if what you're doing is right, you need to keep on trying. You need to keep on pressing forward. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, I remind us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against all kinds of things. And those problems and those mountains and those things that you face, they may come from a variety of different sources. I'd like to just look at this briefly before we close. A lot of them come from mistakes we've made. It has nothing to do with the devil. It has nothing to do with evil forces. It's simply because we did not listen. Or maybe we listened to the enemy and that got us into the jam we're in. But some of the problems that we're facing are a direct result of the enemy, and discerning that help you to know how to battle against it. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you're going to overcome that which is evil, you're going to have to come to know God. You're going to have to make sure that your heart's clear with Him. If there's sin in your life, your understanding and your ability to come out of it is going to be very difficult when you're in a spiritual battle. It's why we need to remain pure. It's why we need to live holy and live righteously. You can draw strength by overcoming your challenges. But if you quit and give up, you'll be weak just like the chick, and you're not going to make it through. So when you're facing that next challenge, think about the boy and his dad on the side of that hillside. On the side of that sand dune, just trying to climb their way out. You're the child, and God's right there with you. You can make it up. You can make it over. You might be tired and sore and worn out when you get there. But if you'll just listen to your coach, you'll just listen to God, you can do it. Whatever, maybe you've got some things in your life that just make it seem impossible. Maybe there's some things that you feel like you've been given a raw deal in life. I don't know every part of your lives. Some of you might face some difficulties and obstacles that I don't have and I won't even understand. But there's one who understands. There's one who knows right where you're at. There's one that knows the agony. If He's looking at your spiritual face and at your inside, He knows that you're in torment and He knows that you're frantic and you're fearful that you're not going to make it. Listen to the one that can help you through. Call upon God and you'll find that He'll be there for you. I'd like us as we close in prayer this afternoon at this point. Why don't you just identify that mountain? It's a good place. Recognizing the problem and acknowledging it and being aware of it is the very first step in overcoming it. So let's all stand, and as we stand praying, let's just listen for God to speak to us and show us and help us to understand our struggles, our difficulties. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord. Some of us, we don't even know what hill we're climbing. We don't even know what battle we're in. We're so raged by the battle and so pressed down that, Lord God, we just don't know. And Lord, would You reveal to us? Would You show us the battle? Guard us from any false things that the enemy would throw at us. But Lord God, show us the battle. Is the battle us? Are we the ones that bring the affliction on ourselves? Speak to us now, O God. Lord, is it the enemy? Is the enemy bringing the affliction upon us and creating the battleground? Help us to see. And Lord God, no matter what it is, whether it's ourselves or whether it's the enemy, whether it's just circumstances in our life, God, help me to trust You. To climb up out of this. Because I want to be with You in heaven. And Lord God, I'm going to trust You. I put my faith in You right now to help me. In Jesus' name. Amen.